my old lady done run off with the Iceman. That done my daughter run off with the Undertaker. And I'm about to die. I ain't got nobody to bury me.
So what can be worse?
Oh boy, here comes the Colonel.
Yeah. The comedians from Comedy Central auditions down the hall sneak in here and disrupt things. Well, welcome back. The second half hour of The Promise Tomorrow here on the Science News Radio Network, a serious science program, guys, exploring the business of emerging science, nanotechnology, and open innovation. I'm your host. I'm Colonel Mason. We're going to get back to our interview with Risto Mikulainen and talking about artificial intelligence. I'm going to ask him to take a look at the future. And, of course, at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. But right now, let's step over to our fountain of useless information that we keep here on the set. We've got to kind of rummage around a little bit in the coin jar, and then we will ask the spirit of the fountain for today's query. What do you say?
Welcome to the fountain of useless information. How can I help?
Yes. I see we have awakened the spirit of the fountain because we threw in the coins. The spirit of the fountain who knows all, hears all, sees all, and tells all for a price. All right. Oh, spirit of the fountain, here is today's query. Put on your thinking cap or maybe your shower cap or whatever you do. Santa Catarina and Rio Grande do Sul are the two southernmost states in what large country? Oh, spirit of the fountain. Santa Catarina and Rio Grande do Sul, the two southernmost states in what large country? And I'll give you a hint, oh, spirit of the fountain. Isn't this year we're having Summer Olympics? Ooh, that was too good a hint, wasn't it? All right.
I have given you my answer, and now you may tell me.
The hint was too good, wasn't it? Santa Catarina and Rio Grande do Sul are the two southernmost states in what large country? If you said Brazil, yeah, you're right. I gave it away, didn't I? Okay, back to our program. And if you've just tuned in, then you know in the first half hour we've been speaking with Risto Mikulainen. He's a professor of computer science at the University of Texas in Austin and a research fellow at Sentient Technologies. And fascinating stuff. He's going to be, of course, presenting a paper at the Metricon Conference, October 26, on evolution of neural networks, which is so fascinating because kind of copying like the human mind, but making these applications work of artificial intelligence now commercially, and he believes that there could be commercial applications all over the place. So we asked him to take a look at the future.
So now we are on the verge of being able to do that we can have machines help us in creativity, in creative domains. That I think is the message.
And if you were to put on your future thinking cap and you look down the lane there a little bit, maybe 5 years, 10 years, 15 or 20, where do you see us going? Can you make a prediction of the development and what's going to happen on the morrow?
Yeah, well, it's usually best to predict events that are going to happen after I'm retired, because then I don't, nobody holds me accountable for that. but it's clear that now there's this popularity of AI and machine learning feels a little different from what the previous popularities were in the 90s and 80s. And it feels different in that industry is very strongly involved in what's being developed now. And that means that there's much more direct line to developing products and getting them out into the world. And that's what I believe we'll be seeing in the next 5 or 10 years. AI will start to appear everywhere in small increments and in small improvements. But we start accepting it as part of everyday life on all the devices and our everyday life. And that's going to change our society and our lives the same way as Internet has changed it and social networks has changed it in the last 5 or 10 years. So that will be a change, and it will be exciting.
Okay, you had a very interesting development in Helsinki, Finland, at the University of Technology in Finland. And then you got your PhD in computer science from UCLA in 1990. So you've been around for a while. You've had your mentors, and you've mentored. Give us a kind of a voice of reason. What is a good creed to live by? What is something that you might tell somebody very succinctly to do as they go through the life journey?
I think most important is to have passion for what you're doing. That helps overcome the obstacles that there are, and doing research, getting PhDs, and launching your career that way is hard. There are disappointments, and if you have passion, they don't matter, because you know what you're doing is worthwhile, and it makes it easy to get up in the morning and go to work for the 19th time when you failed in the 19th day before, to find the 20th idea that actually works. And therefore, it's a good idea to find your passion. It's a good idea to look pretty broadly and look at different disciplines, neuroscience, economics, social sciences, mathematics, and this knowledge today and development and research is very interdisciplinary, and when you can combine or find connections between these different areas, you can make progress, and it's also easier to find your passion when you have a lot of room to choose from.
Well, Dr. Risto Mikulainen, you've been absolutely a riveting guest. We've so much enjoyed your conversation today on artificial intelligence and what's going on in the evolution of neural networks. I had no idea that there was that kind of operation happening. And we appreciate you being with us so much. We look forward to seeing you at the Metricon Conference, October 26th, at the Arlington Convention Center in Arlington, Texas. And I hope you'll update us from time to time on your work. Thank you so much.
Thank you. My pleasure.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Right now, we're going to go to the phones. We've got a real treat. We have an old friend with us, a lady we've known for a number of years, Diane Collier. She, this year, is the chairman of the 29th annual conference, Metricon, Innovating for Society. Lockheed Martin's a major sponsor, so is Encore, and a number of others. And this is really, Diane, this is your second year, I think, to be the chairman. Is that right?
Yes, it is. We had a great year last year. Seven tracks, all very interesting material. And so we're working on doing it again for 2016.
You made such an impression with your leadership last year that the committee begged you to please stay on and come back and be tortured again putting the show together this year. All right.
Well, they didn't have to twist my arm very hard. I've been involved with the conference a lot of those 29 years, so I've got a lot of background in it.
Yeah, really,
I remember it back when it was two.
Yeah, you're an old hand, actually, I remember, because you and I have been dealing together with IEEE functions for a number of years now, so this is nothing new for you. This is the 29th straight year for Metricon, and it's highly respected. And it's a one-day conference, which is what is really amazing, is because you're able to get all these people together, all these neat things going on, for one day. And there's a lot of other conferences that do 2 and 3 days and more. They wonder how you do it, how you get it all together. I mean, do you have any insight for us?
Well, it takes lots of planning. We start the next conference since the last one ends. We've got folks that have been involved with it for a number of years, and we cycle new people in to try to keep it fresh. What some of the multi-day conferences it has is a lot of people who travel. This one is primarily local, and so we're able to give people a break out of their work day into a training atmosphere and a networking atmosphere where they can get away from the office but still be building their technical background in their careers. And it's been a growing thing for a number of years.
Yeah, it's been fascinating to see it grow and sponsors coming aboard that really are pretty far flung. I remember last year Landis Gear came in. They're the ones who make the smart meters for us with Encore. I think they're coming back again this year. We're supposed to know here in a little bit. But so the sponsors have really grown widely. And I understand that unlike a lot of conferences that IEEE does and others that are marginal, that really MetroCon pays the bills and actually is a pretty good fundraiser for the organization.
Yes, it's taken us a while to get there, but this last year we had the best year fiscally ever, so we're able to put on other programs within the section. We do some reach out with programs that involve STEM studies, and so it gives us a greater base to improve the conference and to put on other programs within the area.
Yeah, well, that's the reason, I guess, is you're so highly respected and really noticed, quite frankly, far and wide. I mean, I hear people talking about MetroCon in all different parts of the country. They've asked me about it. Some of the things this year you're expanding upon, like systems and software track. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Let's see. The track chair for that is Steve Carr, and he's got a co-chair, Pascal Ronda. And they're out of Lockheed Martin, and they've got a good number of folks that are from Lockheed speaking in that track, and also an old friend of ours that's been there several years, John Robb, who's at UTA, is going to be speaking on mutation testing. Let's see, we also have Ali El Karabi from Hewlett-Packard, and I think they have another speaker that's going to be very interesting that they're lining up soon.
All right, that's cool. I believe, last I heard, and tell me if it's still in the works, but there's going to be a speaker from IBM. Has that been confirmed?
Yes, our keynote speaker is Romelia Flores from IBM. She is a IBM Distinguished Engineer and Master Inventor, and she's going to be talking about their Watson project. Now, Watson is really a lot of different things, and really ties in with our computational intelligence track, as you can take information and using Watson, grow that information to evaluate potential outcomes, and she'll be talking about, I think, an application that applies to the energy industry, among other things. We're not limiting her. She is really a fantastic speaker, and we're really excited to have her.
Okay, so she's really kind of still developing the things that she's going to be talking about, and I guess we'll know more about that as the weeks and months go on leading up to MetroCon. But incidentally, we should mention right now, it's October 26th at the Arlington Convention Center. We'll mention that again before the program is over with. I presume that she might have something to do with that developing and deploying secure systems, too, the cybersecurity. Is she going to address any of that, or do you have other experts there?
Well, we have other experts there. That track is led by Philip Todd and Princy Mehta of Lockheed Martin. You notice we have a lot of folks involved from Lockheed.
Mm-hmm.
They have a speaker coming in from FBI office, and of course we don't have a name for that person because they will maintain their security.
Sure.
We also have one of our speakers on developing and deploying secure systems is Ben Coloni, and he is a person who's spoken at the conference several times.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to speak on structure assurance modeling. We also have Don Fryer, who's going to be speaking on considerations for multidisciplinary approach in engineering of trustworthy and secure systems. It's going to be a strong track. They always have some very in-depth security programs in that area.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. We covered. Did we finish covering machine intelligence with the IBM speaker, or is there more to talk about with that track?
With that track, Romelia will be speaking Romelia will be speaking to the entire body at the luncheon.
Mm-hmm.
The computational intelligence track. Some of the questions that people have is you talk about artificial intelligence, machine intelligence, computational intelligence. What do all those things mean? And so we've got a panel discussion where those terms will be compared and contrasted.
Okay.
And that will start off the track to kind of get lay a groundwork for the track. The track chair, so that's Oscar Garcia of UNT,
mm-hmm.
And the co-chair is Ed Safford. Ed Safford is IEEE member that's worked with us for a number of years on three programs in the section.
Yeah, we know Ed. We know Ed really, really well. Very, very talented, intelligent guy. Sure, Ed Safford.
Mm-hmm. We have a professor from Wright State University, Dayton, Ohio, coming. Michael Cott is speaking on intelligent autonomy and long duration persistent activities, which is I probably should attend that to find out exactly what that means.
Okay. All right.
Here's another one that I think sounds really interesting, and this is another person from the University of North Texas, Rodney Nielsen,
mm-hmm.
is speaking on perceptive, emotive, spoken dialogue companion robots, which I think that will tie in very, very well to the Watson title. One of the interesting things is if you go to the IBM site where Watson has some tools that you can use or play with, is there's an item where you can put in your email information that you're going to put into an email and send, and check the tone of your email.
Mm.
You can tell whether you sound angry or or joyful.
You mean in the written word, it'll prompt you as to whether you're sounding angry or joyful or insulting or whatever.
Yes,
whatever.
It'll give you the information on how you sound.
Well, you know, that's really that's really something, because you know we know with voice inflection as we can tell if somebody is angry or happy or whatever, and so we're pretty good, and in body language too with our looks and things like that. But the written word can be treacherous. There's times when people have dashed off a note to me or me to somebody else, and I'm looking back at it later on and saying, well, that sounds really blunt. And almost sounds confrontational, and it wasn't meant that way at all. So that's pretty cool.
So I think that's a useful tool for us. So I think that should tie, those things tied well to the Watson program at the luncheon.
Yeah, and power and energy systems, that's another one. Of course, that's a specialty with IEEE, since you happen to be in the business of power and energy systems. And I understand Encore is going to be making a presentation there. We're hoping to have the CEO of Encore, a guest on the program one of the days pretty soon. But is there any more that we need to know about the power and energy systems track?
Well, that track is led by Power Zell and Michael Stevens. And they are both from Encore, and they have filled their track. They're from the Power Engineering Society, which is one of the strongest societies in the Fort Worth section.
Mm-hmm.
They have the most active chapter. some of the interesting things is how they could be tied to the security track, because they have power system cybersecurity by Joe Eisenstein of Encore, and they're also looking at some other things in power, integration of renewable variable energy resources from Lee Z of Texas A&M,
mm-hmm.
and power systems and physical and cybersecurity, another track that another item in the track that ties to cybersecurity. Colin Gordon is speaking on that. He's from SEL.
So it's interesting, a number of these tracks really kind of interchange and intermingle and complement each other. That's another reason for the great success that MetroCon is able to pull off in a one-day conference. It's pretty impressive. Do you have maybe a surprise for us in emerging technology, maybe a nice big headline or something we can use, something that's happening in emerging technology?
I don't at this time, but I am told that we might get some new announcements from IBM.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, there's always a lot of new things coming out at IBM, and so we're hoping for the latest, greatest news coming up near the conference.
So we might get a we might get. Go ahead. We might get a blockbuster announcement then at the conference from IBM. That would be cool.
We may get something, because we're asking, you know, what are the new things, and there's so many new things that they'll try to give us something extra interesting for the conference.
And what about biotechnology? I mean, you kids are really going to attempt to give us a pretty good understanding of the latest stuff in biotechnology?
Dan Dmitrovich is working on that track, and Dan has been with us for several years on it. We're going to have a varied track of different kinds of information in biotechnology. One area that we've often been involved in is the pharmaceutical sciences.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know we're going to have a repeat in that area. Anthony DePasqua of UNT Health Science Center is going to be speaking. Lipton Tang from Department of Bioengineering from UT Arlington is speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And others to be named soon.
Okay, all right. So there's going to be...
And now we make time for the voice of reason. Listener comments, ideas, and suggestions.
The way, you know, that organizations can live. I've seen very complex, large organizations that their entire program, I don't care if it's a refinery, a chemical plant, headquarters building, a procurement process, they live by risk management. And that's how they assure their integrity. John Piper, I'm the principal of Bering Security Risk Management Services.
So you decide, has this really been the voice of reason? Listener comments are welcome at 214-329-4949. And please tell us your name and where you're from.
You've been listening to The Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason, the definitive program on emerging and nanotechnologies, now archived and streamed on the web at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Join us next week at the same time as we learn more about the promise of tomorrow.
Waiting for you.